Hello, and welcome to This Nomad Life with Lee and Paul. I'm Lee, Minivan Lee. And this podcast is not just a podcast. This is an audio film, a documentary about life itself and especially the nomad life. We have a really good episode for you today, so let's get started.
Hello, Lee. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, Paul.
Good, good. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I am fantastic because of where we are.
Where are we?
San Francisco.
Where are we?
Yeah. San Francisco, California. What a beautiful city. I haven't been here in, I think, 28 years, and I really don't remember a lot about it other than the beauty that it has. I mean, from the Golden Gate to Alcatraz to Sausalito across the bay, and then the hills and the city here itself, it's just fantastic.
Little cool here.
Yeah, that's true, but that's okay. I mean, I guess if it wasn't for the wind that we had today, and maybe that's an everyday occurrence, but the wind was something else coming out of the west off the ocean. But other than that, it was just a beautiful day. The whole day wasn't beautiful, was it? We got a little bit, was Google drunk today or what?
I think so, because it was actually turning out to be hilarious. I could not stop laughing. And I still laugh about when we went to Sausalito, she took us everywhere we didn't want to go, and it was hard to get. I thought we were trapped. We're trapped in Sausalito because it wanted to take us up this hill again where we just left, that was so narrow that we had to stop to let another truck go by in this residential area in Sausalito. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're stuck. But it was funny. But she was drunk.
You know, I've been in a lot of residential neighborhoods here, there, and everywhere, but I've never experienced going up through those hills in that residential area. You'd look to the left, and you'd have to look way up to see the house, and then you'd look to the right, and you're looking at the roof of the house on the right side of the road.
Right, and you really had to be careful, because it was really, with cars parked there, it was only a one lane.
It really was.
Yeah.
The truck that you mentioned, I tried to give the guy space. Yeah, when we were going through those hills, like you say, it was about one lane, or let's say one and a half, and you had to find, and there were cars parked on the one side of the road, and we passed that pickup truck, and I tried to put it in reverse to move back and give the guy a little more room. Well, because we were on a downhill slope, I started going forward, and the guy said, "Hey, buddy, just hold on a minute. Let me get by."
I said,
"I'm not from around here. Sorry about that." And just, you know, we made it. Didn't hit anything, but it was a little stressful. But we made it, and nothing the worse for wear.
Well, I don't know how large of a city in ranking that San Francisco is, but I guarantee that it's a very high ranking. It might be number 5, number 6 maybe. And it's turns come up really quickly on Google. I'm noticing that it's like bam, you know, it looks like it's going to be far away, and all of a sudden, whoa, got to turn it. And how many times did I miss a turn? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's not easy in such a big city with so many people. You got footpaths, you've got bike paths, and you got to wait for them. And then to actually do a turnaround is like, oh my gosh.
And then there's state law about the pedestrian crossing.
Oh yeah.
You better not hit a pedestrian that's in a crosswalk, or you're in big trouble.
Oh yeah. So what today, Paul? What are we going to talk about? What's our main theme for everybody today?
Well, the exciting thing for me, because I love to eat, we have a microwave.
Oh my gosh, we do. Yes, we do. It is fabulous. We've been eating some Mexican dishes lately, haven't we?
Yes, we have. And you feature those on your YouTube channel.
Yes.
And it just, you know, we went to lunch today, had some leftovers, so of course we kept those. Otherwise, we've just been letting the leftovers go because we had no way to reheat things.
Right.
Now we do.
Yeah, because I got fish and chips. How are you going to reheat the chips? Now, in the microwave, they might be just a little bit soft. It won't be like a regular chip, but chips aren't really French fries anyway, so I don't need them crunchy. But yeah, oh my gosh, those fish, the fish of the fish and chips. This was a very nice restaurant. I will mention that the fish and chips was $22. But actually, if you're in a city, you're probably going to go, well, that's not that much. But, you know, we're nomads and we go to Walmart often. And $22 for me for a meal is expensive for me. But it was worth it. That was a good chef.
It was delicious, wasn't it? I had fish tacos because I love those. And I'm not sure what kind of fish it was that didn't stay on the menu. And I didn't ask. It really didn't matter to me. But they were beautiful and done up just right. And, of course, I ate mine. I didn't have any leftovers like you did.
But we're going to have those chips in the next couple of days, the fish and chips.
Lee.
Yeah.
Don't lie.
Yeah.
Those will be gone before the night is over.
Oh, really? Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Wow. You're going to be hungry. But we do have a lot of burrito stuff and Mexican stuff in this cooler. We have an ice chest and it's stocked. So after the chips, we're going to do some more Mexican food.
Yeah, and I'm only kidding. I'm sure we won't get back into those again tonight. Of course, that's up to you. Those are your leftovers, not mine.
You can have all the chips you want, Paul.
Well, I tell you what. I bet there were at least two potatoes worth, if not three, on your plate.
Oh, I bet there were four.
And you also had, what, how many, three pieces of
three
fish or four?
Three huge pieces of fish.
Okay.
They were absolutely delicioso. Delicioso.
And just the breading on those alone.
Oh, my gosh.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Really, really, really good. So we got the microwave and we're powering it with the Okmo 1000 and we also have the Okmo 2000. So we're quite happy with the power station.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Right. So for nomads out there, OKMO, Okmo. Yes. And it fits perfectly right beside the microwave. Now, we did get a Proctor Silex. Proctor
Silex.
Okay. And it was about $48, and it's a 0.07 cubic feet, and it's 700 watts. So the G1000 Okmo and the G2000 handle it just fine.
Well, you know what? I'm going to try. I guess it doesn't really make sense, but I'm going to try the 500-watt Blue Eddy that I have. I have two of those. I'm going to try one of those on the microwave just to see what will happen. I have a feeling it's just going to conk out and it won't do anything. But I'm curious to know if a 500-watt would... I mean, do you think that microwave throws out 700 watts or needs 700 watts all the time?
Oh, you know, probably not. Well, I don't know because I don't know anything like that.
Yeah, we'll find out.
So, yeah, we can try it out. Usually, I think the Blue Eddy has a safety feature where it will just, you know, the breaker. It'll knock the breaker off, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the right way to describe that?
I think
describe
that's a, as good a way to put it as any.
Right.
Yep. Well, the other subject that we wanted to cover today, at least one other, is parking, overnight parking. That seems to be something
scary. Ooh, overnight parking. Ah.
Well, now, watch what you say, because
yes.
we waited a little bit too late this afternoon, folks, to get into the residential neighborhoods. That's where we wanted to park because we found that parks won't let you, at least the ones we saw, they won't let you park overnight. So we're on a residential street, but we had a dickens of a time finding a couple of parking spots.
Now, I would like to mention, Paul, that we have come up with, and tell our listeners, our friends, we are coining a new phrase that you have boondocking out in on BLM land or federal land, state land, but what is up with this urban parking? Well, we've coined a phrase, we're calling it urban nestling. We're doing the urban nestle because we're nestling in an urban environment with all the other locals. And we're just stealthily moving in and we just park and nobody seems to want to bother us.
So far, so good.
I know it.
And that term, urban nestling, is perfect for tonight especially because to fit in the spot, the space that we found, my back bumper is just past a driveway where the curb begins. So we had to really get up close to each other, our bumpers. So that's a very fitting term for tonight especially.
And we're going to discuss the urban nestling. Now, we will mention at the end, we will mention some apps for y'all for boondocking, for BLM land, and where you can park on federal land, on, you know, federal parks, things like that. But our focus is on urban nestling because, you know, guess what? If you know me and my YouTube channel, Minivan Lee, I love being in the city, especially in the summertime.
You are definitely a city girl, that's for sure.
Yes, and you are kind of a city guy yourself, I'm finding out.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're finding out yourself too.
I am.
Yeah,
I
discovering am. That it's fun being in the city.
Well, it's where the action is, for crying out loud.
And it's where everything's at. I mean, yeah, and the way that we park, we've got a system for parking. We're in a parking lot and we just sort of make it our little home for the day. And then we find another place to park at night and then we'll go back. Now, parking overnight, how do you feel about this, Paul? Do you like to just stay in one spot over and over and over in the evening if you find a spot? Or do you do what others might say and, well, you're supposed to change it every single night and don't get too comfortable in one spot?
Well, the way I feel about that is that, for instance, where we are right now on a residential street, the street is packed. They have, I assume, a lot of these places on either side of the street are apartments rather than homes, houses. They look like apartments anyway. And why not come back to this same area tomorrow? We know that we found parking. We know that we found it. We need to get going. I don't know if we mentioned a time, but we didn't really get out away from, we were at a beach this afternoon, a beautiful beach where we could see the Golden Gate and Alcatraz and so forth. But we didn't get out of there till about 6. Well, tomorrow, I think we better get on our way by 4:30 at least, don't you?
Most definitely. When we stayed in another area where there was a beach south of San Francisco, there was spots that I had before we started traveling together. I had to get there by 4:30 or somebody took my spot. And I'm just going to describe what we're seeing. When we were driving to find a spot, we're driving down, and as we looking down the side streets, as that's why San Francisco, it's very condensed in San Francisco, as you can imagine, but if you haven't been here. And so we're driving and we're looking down, and literally there was not one, there was car behind every car. The streets are lined on both sides of just cars. There's no space. If there is a space, it's because that's a driveway.
Yep.
And as I'm looking down the side streets, you know, as I'm driving past, I'm looking down, going ever slow, and there it's packed. The streets are lined. There's a lot of people that park on the streets, but there's also in California, and I'm finding that in every city that we've been traveling, is that there are a lot of people living in their vehicles. Now, we're not talking about homeless people. We're talking about working people that are living in their vehicles and having like Ram ProMasters like you.
Mm-hmm.
And they're parked everywhere.
Yep.
And they're working. They have really good jobs. They just don't want to waste their money on rent, which is probably super high.
Oh, I would think here it's off the charts. I would assume. I don't
probably
know.
Probably something even small, maybe even $3,000 a month.
You think that much?
Might be. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe something like 800 square feet might be as high as $3,000. I'm going to guess in San Francisco.
I can't believe people can afford that. I mean, that's why they're living in their vehicles, right?
Right. And they're tricking out their vehicles like we have.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, Lee, but right after we parked, across the street from us, a fellow pulled up into the one spot that was there.
One spot left.
And he got out and he looked at his front bumper and he looked at his back bumper.
Yeah.
And he was in there. So he made it just fine. But then he opened the back door to his car and pulled out what looked like a duffel bag, gym bag kind of a thing.
Right.
So I bet he's got an apartment in that place somewhere.
Yeah.
But he had to park on the street. So that's where a lot of this parking comes from also.
Right.
Well, Lee, as we're talking about this, you mentioned that it's a very, very concerning subject for a lot of people. Where am I going to sleep tonight? Well, I must be honest with you. You had been to the town we were at south of here before I arrived, and you had a place in a residential neighborhood. There was a church parking lot on one side and home after home after home on the other side. And when we first got there, I don't want to say I was concerned, but I thought, won't those people in those houses across the street, won't they come out and say, what are you people doing here? You know, why? They didn't. I mean, we were there for a week, I believe, something like that. 8-9 days, maybe. But nobody ever came out. Nobody was staring at us through the windows. And we were there night after night after night in essentially the same spot. It surprised me.
And when we go back, we're going to be in the same spot again.
Yep.
Because it's such a wonderful spot. It's quiet. They don't have excessive street lights going on. It's a great spot.
Oh, yeah, it is. I slept like a baby. It was great. I didn't have any trouble at all. I gave half a thought to, am I going to get the knock on the window tonight? But you know what, folks? If I had gotten the knock on the window, of course, Lee would have too. So you start your vehicle and you move to somewhere else.
Well, in California, there are a lot of people that are just parked along the side of the road. They fill up. In fact, one of the great aspects of the spot we picked was that that one, for some reason, doesn't fill up. But the spot I had before that I had to fight for, that was a hot spot. And it was just car after car after car after car. Mm. It's the way it was. It's the way it is here in San Francisco. This is California.
Yeah.
Near the coast.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people traveling. There are a lot of people, nomads, and there are a lot of people that work really good jobs. And they live in their vehicles because it's fun that way.
You know, we should say that, of course, when we're in these neighborhoods, I don't pull out the chairs and I don't pull out the grill and put the charcoal on and fry hamburgers or steak or whatever. You know, it's not like we're camping. I mean, you're pretty much limited to that evening and overnight in your vehicle. That's where you're going to be. But that's okay. That's not a big deal. And then, you know, if we want to do that kind of thing during the day, well, we're usually at a park or someplace like that where that's perfectly fine. So it really doesn't change our method of living day to day. It's just a way to sleep overnight comfortably.
One of the reasons that we're doing this and we're discussing this is because new nomads, newbies, it is one of the most upsetting, scary, concerning subject is where am I going to park for the night? I don't know. And even, I mean, you got to admit, we did kind of think about when we got here and go, where are we going to park tonight? Because we didn't know. And it's just something that kind of is on your mind until you find it. It's on your mind like, I don't know where we're going to park tonight. So we wanted to talk about this. So I would like to mention and discuss some of the aspects of the parking characteristics that we look for. What do we look for? I think at this point, we probably look for any spot available. And we're here, it's like, okay, there's two spots. I think we can fit both of us in. Let's nestle into this urban area.
Well, of course, the first thing we look for is signage on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
What does it say? And there's something a little different about San Francisco.
Tell our listeners what's going on with San Francisco.
Well, on every street, they must do a wonderful job of keeping their streets clean. Because they have metal, permanent signs that says, for instance, Tuesdays and Thursdays, or the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday of the month, between, 11 o'clock and 1 p.m., no parking on this side of the street. Well, that's because they're going to, and then it says street cleaning below that.
Yeah.
So on those 2 days per month, they're going to come down with the street sweeper machine and clean the street. Other than that, nothing is said where we're at right now. Nothing was said about no parking.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there was a sign that said there was going to be on the 18th an event. No parking between this. There's going to be a street event. But, you know, hey, maybe we should come here on the 18th.
Maybe they're having a chili cook-off.
I know. Yeah, in Sausalito, there was a chili cook-off. What day was that? Next weekend. That actually sounds like fun.
It does. Next Saturday.
But we might get stuck in Sausalito again. Google won't lead us out properly.
I think we know Sausalito pretty well after all our adventures today.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
No doubt.
But so San Francisco's different. You just have to look to see what the parking says. If in I'm just only going to say, we're going to talk, just right now we're talking about California. From what we've been seeing, everybody, is that unless it tells you you can't park on the street, you can park on the street.
And you know what? Talk about the knock on the window at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. Put yourself in the shoes of a police officer. He's working overnight. He's tired. He probably worked the midnight shift yesterday. Or maybe he worked a day shift yesterday because they work swing shifts so often. Why would he want to bother to stop? There's no reason, for one thing, because we don't put out chairs and a grill or whatever. There's no reason for him to stop and say, why is this vehicle parked here? There's no restriction on parking, so why would you expect to get a knock on the door? There's no reason. So.
Exactly. But, okay, let's go back. Where was it that we were going to park? Wasn't it in near Monterey? We're going to park, and we were uncomfortable. This would be my stipulation to not park there. When it is such a small, it seems like there's houses on each side, and it's a real community that would have signs up that says neighborhood watch, you know, or something like that. No, I would not go there and park. I just would not do it.
Well, you'd assume that those people would be more situationally
exactly
aware and watch out for what's going on.
Right.
So, yeah, why rock the boat?
So when you're dealing with like a coastal city like this, when you start getting into the real tight neighborhoods inside the city, it might not be a coastal city, maybe you're inland a little bit. Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't do that because you know they're going to be looking out there. And they're going to be calling in their neighbor and saying, who is this person? So remember that one neighborhood we went into that we were uncomfortable at this one park. And then we went and we couldn't find this other park. And we parked there and I thought, you know, I remember mentioning to you, I would never park in this neighborhood.
Right.
Because it just seemed like it was too tight knit. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
On the coast, where it's a beach town or something like that, I think they just expect.
Well, Lee, talking about things like that, you know, I tried to think of the most unusual place that I'd ever parked. And I really couldn't come up with anything that's earth-shattering. And maybe you have a good story about that. But the only place that I could say that was a little off the wall, maybe, was I spent a lot of time in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan this summer. There's a large grocery store chain. If some of those, some of you that are in the upper Midwest might have heard of Meijer, or their old name, Meijer Thrifty Acres. They're kind of like a Walmart store, something like that. But anyway, they have huge parking lots because they have huge stores. Everything from groceries to clothing to pharmacy and hardware and everything else. Well, the Sault Ste. Marie, they have a carpool sharing area of their parking lot set aside with signage that said, this is for carpool people, that if you want to leave one vehicle here and ride with somebody else to work and so forth, that's cool. You can do it free of charge, and we offer this space in our parking lot to you for that. Well, that's where I parked. Nobody's going to bother a car that's parked at a carpool parking space. At least that's what I thought, and I never had any trouble, and I parked night after night after night, essentially in the same parking spot. So,
yeah.
I mean, if I were doing a carpool, that's what I'd do. So why should I do anything else just because
exactly.
I happen to be spending the night in my van?
You know, how many people walk into a classroom and they sit in the chair and through the whole semester, they're in that same chair. It's whatever you pick.
Yep.
My most unusual spot, I believe, was just when I was in Reno parking at the park overnight. I did two different parks. The first year, one park, everybody stayed at this park. We're dealing with a lot of homeless people living in their vehicles. Cool people. But yeah, we just spent the night there. But then they kind of cleaned that out, and then some of us went to a different park. And I will say that I spent the summer, two summers in Reno, and I literally spent 6 days at that park. I didn't move my vehicle once for a couple weeks for 6 days. On the seventh day, I would go do my laundry, go get groceries, come back, park in the same spot. So that was my most unusual. I guess it was during COVID and nobody was bothering anybody and they didn't mind if you stayed there. So that actually is I think it's unusual to stay at a city park all night long.
Have you ever parked at a Walmart?
I did. And the two times that I did, I stayed the same one. The second night, I had a card that said you can't do it. It was in Lake Havasu and said there's a city ordinance. But it was a really very courteous card. It gave, on one side, it said the rules. And on the second side, it gave coordinates for BLM land.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was very nice.
Was very nice. It said that you just can't stay here in Walmart.
And of course, around Lake Havasu, there's all kinds of BLM land available. So.
Right. In Lake Havasu, they're very anal in Lake Havasu, seriously. Mm-hmm. I think they've just had it with nomads, kind of, you know. They're like garbage police to the garbage Nazis, yeah. Right. They watch you where you put garbage. And they don't have garbage cans around. Because I think they've gotten wise to, they don't want to pick up garbage from nomads, you know, so yeah.
Sure. Well, so, what are some of the other common places that people utilize for overnight parking?
I like if I'm going to travel on the highways, truck stops and rest stops, but doing urban doesn't that's not a big deal. It's kind of hard to find a rest stop. So I kind of like the warehouses, 24/7 warehouses, because I've worked at them before. And I know that they're easy to park, and I know how to deal with it. I'm uncomfortable doing it because I've done warehouse work overnight.
Like an Amazon you're talking about?
Amazon and USPS, or UPS, USPS, yeah. They're warehouses that move things. FedEx, another is a FedEx.
Sure.
And those are always 24/7, and you can just park there. Nobody's going to bother you.
Yeah. A grocery store that's open 24 hours a day. Of course, COVID, a lot of stores had to reduce their hours. But
right
now that hopefully we're starting to turn that corner, some days I wonder. But anyway, if we do have stores that are open 24 hours, I'm sure you can park in their parking lot. And how would they know if you're in the store shopping or in the back of your rig sleeping?
Right. Well, what about, I've heard that Cracker Barrel has a national policy now that they welcome nomads to sleep there because they know that they're going to go in and have breakfast or go in there when they park and go in and get dinner.
I really enjoy Cracker Barrels. I've probably stayed at four or five different ones, a couple of them more than once. But it's great. I really enjoy breakfast, and to stay overnight and then go in and for breakfast in the morning and say, hey, by the way, I spent the night back in your parking lot and I really appreciate that. I think they appreciate that. That's the whole thing. They do something for us and we can do something for them.
Closest Cracker Barrel to us right now is 80 miles. I'm not seeing it on coastal land on the Pacific. Cracker Barrels are non-existent.
Yeah, I haven't looked, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the closest one to us is, Sacramento.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we won't be staying in Cracker Barrel parking lots.
No, but they're big back east, but I just don't see them on the West Coast a lot.
Well, I have stayed in one a couple of times, just on the west side of Tucson, as a matter of fact.
Is it Cracker Barrel?
Yeah.
Tucson?
Yeah. And then the other place that, and maybe this is a strange place to stay, but I've stayed at a few hotel or motel parking lots.
Yeah.
Usually on the bigger chains for some reason. I don't know if they tell their people, don't go out and check. You normally have to give your license number when you check into a place like that. But I haven't experienced them coming out and saying, hey, your license plate isn't on our register. Are you staying here? Or, you know, I haven't had any trouble with that whatsoever. It's been great.
Well, I just looked up Cracker Barrel in Tucson, and guess what the name of the street it's on? North Cracker Barrel Road. Yeah, North Cracker Barrel Road.
Well, as I recall, they're in there must be 7 or 8 motels in that area. There are 3, 4, 5 different restaurants. Mm-hmm. It's just a little cluster of, here we are, travelers. If you need something, we offer it all. And the Cracker Barrel is there too, so.
Now, gyms. You can park at gyms.
Oh,
but
Planet
I will
Fitness.
Mention
yeah.
that you got Anytime Fitness, you've got Planet Fitness. But the real issue is what their parking lot situation is. If they're sharing a parking lot with Plaza, I've done it before, but I'm uncomfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
I just know there's going to be a knock, like, why are you here? But if it's a Planet Fitness that has a parking lot sort of off to itself, that's ideal.
Yeah.
Totally ideal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned, what was it again? The urban...
Nestling.
Nestling.
Urban nestling.
Well,
how about
another strange term?
What?
Mooch docking.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of
what
that.
What in the world is that?
I've never done it, but you sounds like you might know more about it than I do.
Well,
so.
Essentially what it is, if you have a relative or a friend or happen to know someone, an acquaintance in a particular town, A lot of times, if they know that you're a nomad, and you know, they'll say, hey, if you're ever passing through town, and I'd love to see you, and you can park in my driveway and plug into my electrical outdoor outlet.
Yeah.
And use my hose for water if you want, that kind of thing. And you wind up parking in their driveway overnight rather than going into the house. They might think that we're a little crazy because we're just more comfortable. I'm more comfortable sleeping right here in my rig than I am putting someone out and you know, they got to change the sheets and clean the towels and get everything ready. Well, no, they don't have to worry about that. I'll stay right in my rig, and if I can get some electricity from you, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess I did mooch duck once when I went up and saw my aunt and my cousins, and they wanted me to sleep, but I said, no, you know, my bed out there. Those are my pillows. The only time that I will seem to be okay sleeping in a bed is every once in a while I like to get don't like motels. I want a really nice hotel. I'll spend the money. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the thick pillows and, oh yeah, and I sleep pretty good in their beds, but it's got to be a nice one. It's got, you know, I can't be uncomfortable with a dirty mattress underneath. And I do check before.
If you go to a cheap motel, ooh, you never know exactly what you're going to run into in those places.
But, yeah, I mean, those are really nice suggestions for parking, or, you know, in a city, in an urban nestling situation. Maybe urban nestling might be more of a term for what we've been doing, is to kind of nestling up to the curb. Mm-hmm. And we're just parked here like we belong here. And those might be our apartments. Or the thing is, I don't really even care in this area, because there's so many people doing what they do, they know what we're doing, and they don't care.
Right.
You know, yeah. We're not making noise. We're just parked here. We're not doing anything illegal. Yeah, we're just here. Nice people here.
Lee, on your YouTube site, you also have a Facebook group.
Yes.
And isn't there a fantastic discussion thread about overnight parking?
Yes, it has up to 300 comments on there. So if you are on Facebook, I highly recommend joining Minivan Lee's This Nomad Life Facebook group. Just go to the groups and search for Minivan Lee's This Nomad Life. Paul's there too.
Yep.
And we keep the discussion going, but we don't even have to do that. There are so many people involved in good discussions and helping out and asking questions, giving suggestions, posting pictures of what they're doing, getting ready. They got this ready in the rig. Yes, what do you guys think about this? And I will mention, I wanted to get this discussion going because twice now on that Facebook group, there was somebody who was panicking. And they got on the Facebook group. I don't know where to park. I need to park. I'm getting tired. Where do I park? I was so proud of everybody. There's so many people that jumped in. And this was actually getting late at night. And they jumped in. They said, go here. Everybody was helping her look for a place. And I knew that this is a very concerning subject for especially older women who are getting started in this, that maybe weren't, you know, maybe taught to be fearless when they were younger, or maybe they're now widowed and they were, you know, their husband sort of helped out with a lot of things. There's a lot of women, maybe men too, who don't know where to park. They want this lifestyle, but they're confused and panic over when it's time to go to sleep.
Sure. And as far as, you know, we mentioned that we waited a little too long today to get out and try to find our place to park. We were fortunate. We found two spaces and we're in there, and it looks like there'll be great places for us tonight. But there are many other resources for a person to use if they want free places to park. and some of those are, help me out here, freecampsites.net.
Are you talking about for urban nestling?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think this is more for, well, not necessarily. I mean, with there's an app called Trucker Path or Trucker's Path, and this freecampsites.net, they may lead you to a truck stop.
Yeah.
And if it's been found to be a safe place and there's no problem and the truck stop doesn't mind if you park overnight, as long as you don't take spaces for that the semis would do, they don't mind a bit.
Well, another app would be iOverlander. Now, that might actually be okay coming up. But the way that that works is what people do is they market. It's sort of people have to participate in this app. When they find a spot, they'll mark it, and then it'll go into the app. But I have found that iOverlander, so many of those spots were done before, pre-COVID. And now people are really putting in, that's no longer available. You can't park there.
Yeah, that has changed a lot of things.
I know. So
sure.
iOverlander would have been a perfect thing for urban nestling because it didn't matter whether it was boondocking or BLM or city. People were putting in, yes, I parked here and it was cool. But I have found it's really not overly helpful.
Well, on any of those apps, whether it's freecampsites.net or whatever, you should pay attention to the date when a review was posted.
Exactly,
because
yeah.
If it's 5 years old, things might have changed.
I know. You know, one thing that, Google Maps, I know it's a silly app to use, but if you're on the road, you can type in, if you're on the highways, it's like truck stop near me or a rest area near me.
Sure.
And then what I do is look at the reviews, especially for the rest stops.
Right.
What people say about those. I've never had a problem with the rest stop. If you're uncomfortable, we always suggest leave.
You bet.
Yeah. Use your spidey sense, you know.
Yep.
Ooh, something doesn't seem right. Yeah, the hair on my back of my neck's going up. So as far as, this is my opinion, folks, my friends, I don't rely on apps. I rely on how it feels. And because you and I both, Paul, are becoming seasoned, that if I'm in a city and I want to urban nestle, I find a street.
Mm-hmm. And it works.
It does. It works.
And the price is right.
I know. Yeah, the price is right. Yeah. So as far as the YouTube channel for Minivan Lee, if you're not subscribed, please go there and just type in Minivan Lee and I will come up. There's no other Minivan Lee. And please subscribe to it. But I do have a few videos that talk about overnight parking if you want more. So what you would need to do is type in overnight parking, Minivan Lee, and all of my videos will come up.
Well, I think we pretty well covered that subject, haven't we? We have.
Don't be scared. Just go for it. Don't be scared. Don't wait till last minute. Go find your parking. If you're new into an area, you want to urban nestle, go find your spot around 4:30.
Yeah.
And then just hunker down and watch a movie or something the first night. If everything goes well, pin it. If you don't know how to do that, go to my YouTube channel and type in Google Maps Minivan Lee. I have a video on how to do that. In fact, maybe next week we could actually do that and just sort of give you instructions on how to pin your spot.
Well, it's very, very helpful. There's no question about that.
And then you always have it.
On Google Maps, I've learned a ton from you about how to save sites. Put them in different groups about what's in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or what's in Tucson, Arizona, and where those places are, whether they be any kind of place where you could park overnight, and then you don't have to try to remember, because
right.
If you're traveling, you're going to forget some of those things, at least I would. So having those locations saved right to the spot is fantastic resources to have.
That sounds like that would be a good podcast, talking about how to handle Google Maps.
I think that app, website, depending on how you use it, it's so powerful that we don't use half of what's there because we don't know about it. So, yeah, to talk about that, I think, would be great.
Yeah. I mean, Google can be our friend. I suppose, what did I mention? I said, wouldn't it be awful if Google started messing with us? And said, they rely on us now. Let's mess with them. Hey, let's make a right turn when you and take us all over the place.
Well, we kind of wondered if they were doing today.
Oh, my God. And then they wanted me to turn right. They go, turn right. And it was down a footpath. I could see people flying down the road as we're driving down there. Hey, Google said we could do this, you know. No, Google was a little bit tipsy today, I think.
Anybody could make a mistake.
Okay,
even
Google. I know. So I hope that everybody enjoyed this discussion, huh, Paul?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've covered the major points, and hopefully it'll be helpful for all you folks out there. And don't be afraid to do it. Just give it a go, and I think you'll be surprised at how well a lot of these things work and will allow you to have a nice, safe place to spend the night.
And this could be for, I advocate in my book, How to Live in a Minivan, the Minivan Leeway, but it can be an SUV, it can be a high-top Ram, Sprinter type, whatever. But you might want to actually just do weekend camping. And you might, are traveling, you don't want to have to spend money on hotels. Well, you might not always go camping with it. You might actually end up in a city like San Francisco.
Sure.
And I'm telling you, so my biggest advice that I think Paul and I would both give you is get your spot early, because these streets are just lined with cars everywhere. Yeah.
No doubt about it. Well, I'm glad that we were able to cover all this stuff. Hope you folks found it helpful. Well, everyone, we certainly thank you for tuning in, and we're going to have an episode every Thursday. Even though we're in San Francisco today, or maybe not on the Thursday that you're listening to this, who knows? We might move on. And next week, we might be in a completely different city in some other part of a different state. So please tune in every Thursday. We'd love to have you join us. And hopefully we can share some great information with you.
We've got some good stuff coming.
You
bet.
Thanks,
Paul. You're a great travel partner, I gotta say. And Abby, we got Abby here too.
And she was nice and quiet tonight, so that good for her.
She's sleepy. This wind in San Francisco, she's sleepy.
Took her for a long walk today, and I think we wore her out.
So we love you guys.
We'll talk to you next week.
The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches, and then moves on. Fog by Robert Frost.
Well, friends, we're moving on, and so are you. But we'll be back next week, of course. You will be too.
Be cool.